The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22. Paul said, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." 24, "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything." He said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." He says, "So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." He said, "For this reason," quoting from Genesis, "a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." He said, "This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Now, let's read another one. Quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll read from verse 7. It says, "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." I'm using the New American Standard Bible, please. He said, verse 11, "However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman, and all things originate from God." Now, we have been, as you know, we have been talking about what we call Christ and the church, the foundation of marriage for the young Christian, we said. And what we have been trying to establish in this series of teachings, today being the third and final day of the seminar, our Power for Life seminar, I said that what we have tried to establish actually is a pattern in the mind of God for this issue of marriage. I said at the beginning, I warned you very closely that I don't teach on relationships. Somebody said that Pastor Bang is going to teach on relationships. I said, no, it's not true. I don't teach on relationships. What I'm teaching on is what? The spiritual foundation for marriage. I'm just going to say that and leave it. Now, along the line, if I chip in things, you know, a little bit of advice, wisdom here and there that helps your relationship, praise the Lord for that, all right? But that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm doing actually is just to help us understand the foundation in the mind of God for the things that, for the issue of marriage. Like I always say, man never created marriage. You get what I'm saying? It was never a man's idea. If a man created a car, he can write a manual for it. But unfortunately for human beings, they did not make marriage. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. So they cannot set the rules. All right? Now, the interesting part is that those who try to throw away the counsel of God, like you see in a lot of countries, you know, they legalize same-sex marriage and tell you that that's just the way the man is. They didn't ask themselves the simple question, whose idea was it that people should even unite in the first place? I'm explaining again that if we want to have success in it, we have to get God's idea, God's mind. And one thing I said before also, just trying to review some of the things that we have said, is that once you get God's ideas, physical things respond automatically. And that's not only about marriage, but everything in life. If your mind, your heart, your spirit becomes conformed to the image that God wants it to be, naturally the physical things on this earth, they respond. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it is not that you will struggle to get a good wife or struggle to attract a good husband. If you are ready for one, it will come. There's something invisible in your system that attracts certain things to you. Do you get my point? There is. That's why if you, those who have studied spiritual things in all kinds of manners, they tell you about the aura, all right? That a man has an aura. Those things are not jokes. They really exist. This human spirit is like a magnet. The way it is charged decides what it attracts to itself in life. You may not be consciously aware of what is going on, but there's something inside you that's actually drawing something towards you or repelling something else from you. That's just the way life is. And I'm explaining that if you get God's ideas and you subject your own, the one that you have learned maybe by experience in life, what people around have been telling you, if you drop all those other things and take up the fear of God, what you will discover is that life begins to respond to you with fruitfulness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember that when God drove Adam out of the garden, he explained to him simply that life will no longer respond to you with fruitfulness. You now become a matter of difficulty to get results in life. And that's what we are saying, that if you lose God's ideas, life becomes a struggle. But if you gain God's ideas, life becomes easy. Do you follow what I mean by easy? Jesus said that, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the principle of life. You take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon you. Now, let me just explain something there. Notice that it's a yoke. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Jesus never said that it's not a yoke. He said, take my yoke. What's a yoke? Yoke is like bondage. Let me start with that. Yoke is like a restriction on your movement. Are you getting what I'm saying? A yoke tells you where you can go and where you cannot go. It kind of restrains you. It's like a hook on your neck. So Jesus said, you have to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That is, the way by which you take my yoke is by learning. You are getting what I'm saying? But let me say this. In life, you carry one yoke or the other. That is life for you. Do you follow my point? There's nobody on the earth without a yoke. Now, that is a mistake that young people make, and the way some societies have tried to evolve, as if yokes are restrictions upon people and that you are hindering them from fully manifesting their potential. When in reality, if they don't take that yoke, they will take another one. My best example all the time is the statement I read from Ben Carson. He said, young men say that, no, I don't want any yoke. Now, you know, I'm using my own words now. I don't want any yoke in my life. I want to be able to do what I want at any point, at any time that I like it. He said, eventually, those same people end up with a bigger yoke. They land in a place where they are told when to wake up. All right? They are told when to go to sleep. They are told when to eat. They are told when to have a bath. They are told when to put out their light. That is, their whole life is yoked all round. Meanwhile, if they are taking an easier yoke at the beginning, they will have discovered real rest and real freedom. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, the things of God, and I'm going to see some things, and we need to know this one now, because I'm going to see something along those lines today. The things of God initially will appear like a yoke. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon thee. You have to accept the yoke of God. I always say that salvation is not free. When I say salvation is not free, I don't mean you pay with money. I mean it must cost you something to reach what God wants you to reach in life. That is, there is something you held as precious to you. There is something that you think it's something that gives you pride or a clout in life that God will demand you let go of, and that becomes the cost of your own salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's why Jesus says, take my yoke upon thee. That is, I will have you do things the way you did not know how to do it before. It will appear like I'm leading you in the direction that other people are not going. You follow my point? That is, I will lead you in a way that's different from the one that everybody else is following. It's when you follow me that you will find what? Rest. But it is a yoke. You know what it means to be a yoke? It might appear difficult at the time. But Jesus said, my own yoke is easy, and my burden, that's another word, it is a burden. I need to emphasize that. It might be light, but it's a burden. It might be easy, but it is a yoke. What am I emphasizing there? That you have to do things that may appear difficult and abnormal in the eyes of your society, but that is what will get you into the rest of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's what I've been saying in the last 2 days, today being the last and third day of this seminar. Now, so we have established a number of points. The first day, I said something about the wife of thy youth. And yesterday, I wanted to talk about the hindrances, the strongholds, all right, in that prevents people from choosing or receiving a right mate. But then God led us in a different direction, and we ended up speaking extensively about what I call naming your wife, all right, or by faith sustaining your husband. It's so important we understand that. Now, today, I will quickly go on. That's where we read from, our text is from Ephesians chapter 5 that we just read now. And I want to title my message today. It's a very funny title, all right? Just an interesting title. I just thought about it just before I came in now. I said, is it a man's world? That's the title of today's message. There's a reason why, well, as I go on, you'll understand what I mean by that. But it's a very important question. Is it a man's world? Now, you've heard that statement made again and again. It's a man's world, all right? The question is that, is it really a man's world? We read somewhere just now. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What did Paul say there? He said, in the Lord, verse 11, yes. He said, however, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, or that the woman is not independent of man, nor is the man independent of the woman. For the woman originates from the man, so also the man originates through the woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, notice the last phrase there. He said, and all things originate from God. You are getting what I'm saying? That one answers it simply. Is it a man's world? Really, it is not. But I will develop it further so that you understand what I'm saying. In reality, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why did I ask that question? Because a lot of times, the problem arises a lot of times in which a woman is getting married or she has just gotten married. And it appears as if her freedom has been taken away. Do you get my point? A friend of mine narrated an experience after, you know, she got married to a man she liked plenty. Both of them are my friends, you know, very good friends. Now, the lady was telling me something years, long, long after they got married. And we were just discussing one day. She said that when they got married, now, she's one of those kinds of people that are mommies everywhere they go. Do you get my point? And let me just say this one to you quickly. If you're a woman and you are the mommy type, you know what I mean by mommy type? Don't ever try to mommy a man. Listen to me. They dislike it from the bottom of their heart. Every single man I have met dislikes it. Are you getting my point? Let us assume you're on campus now and everybody in fellowship is calling you mama, mommy. Small girl that you are, they are calling you mommy. And then you feel very, very, you know what I mean, spiritual. And then, you know, you now get engaged. Or one brother comes and says that, how far? And then you feel like, how far with what? What has the spirit been speaking to you about the fatness of what? You know, that kind of thing. You are feeling very spiritual. The guy said, what is your problem, my friend? I want to marry. Are you game or you're not game? You're trying to make everything look very spiritual. Because you think he should tremble at the presence of the spiritual mommy that you are. Listen to me. You are going to beget troubles for yourself. That's all. Alright, let me say, now, I will say these things. It really stir your thoughts. You now know what I mean when I say, is it a man's world? Generally, spiritual sister that you are, don't offer those guys counsel if they don't ask for it. They dislike it. Practical tips to successful relationships. Listen, I told you something earlier yesterday. I inferred it without saying it directly. If you are somewhere and, well, if you are not married, and even if you are married, this will still apply in a different form. But if you are not married, maybe you are a young man, you have to learn to treat the young women like, the Bible says, like sisters. But very importantly, you treat them as potential wives. I don't mean that you try to woo every woman. I just mean that you look at them with that kind of eye. Do you follow my point? So you treat them with respect. That's what I'm saying. And the same the other way. If you're a woman, a young woman, once as men who are, you know, maybe slightly older than you, or they look like the kind of people that can marry you, you follow my point? Treat them with a lot of respect. Believe me what I'm saying. Believe what I'm trying to say. All right? Now, so in that setting, if you're a very spiritual woman, don't try to boss a man. If you're in a unit and you are the leader, lead very nicely. But if he's not in your unit, don't even at any moment let it cross your mind that you are a spiritual superior. I'm telling you, it might sound like I'm being chauvinistic, but I'm telling you what will help you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm just giving you those ones as practical tips. Now, I started by explaining that if you're a spiritual sister, If you get engaged, don't ever try to lead the relationship. And if you get married, you will quarrel every day if you try to be the Bible teacher in your house. Even if you are anointed to teach, don't teach your husband. I'm sorry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? This is the reason why a lot of people enter unnecessary troubles. I say you can never share something with your wife, with your husband. I didn't say that. In fact, you can ask my wife last night. I was asking her that, do you understand this? And the thing is confusing me a bit. I explained everything I need to explain. I said, please, can you take it on from there? I want to learn something. So I'm not saying that you can never teach your husband. But you know what I mean by the attitude. Don't ever step in and feel like, I mean, the guy got born again only 6 years ago. I have been born again since I was 12. Now, we've gotten married. Now, I'm 26. I was a women's leader when we were on campus. In our church self, I was the leader of the young women's group. You follow what I'm saying? They have anointed me with prophecy and oil. All right? And the laying of hand of the elders. This brother is just a businessman. You know? He's only good at making money. Therefore, at the family devotion, I sit down and say, praise God. As we were praying this morning, the Lord was speaking to me. Don't use those words with your husband. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is harassment. It is called embarrassing the referee in football. You've not heard that expression before. I'm not very good with football. I don't watch football much. But you see, listen, no, I'm telling you the truth. If you know football, I had a colleague, all right? He was an NFA referee, all right? He used to officiate Nigerian league matches. Let me see what I'm trying to say. He said, you know, they have three referees on the field, all right? The central one and the two, what we used to call linesmen, all right? Now, most times the linesman sees something the referee doesn't see, so he raises his flag. He said, they are taught like this. If you raise your flag and the referee sees your flag and refuses to acknowledge it, you drop it immediately. He said, you don't leave it up. If you leave it up, it's called embarrassing the referee. Are you getting my point? Listen, if somebody is in authority over you and you go and say, God said, you know, are you getting what I'm going to say? Using that to force his hand into a decision is embarrassing the husband. I'm telling you small tips that will make your life very easy. This is for you spiritual women. All right? You know, I started this by telling you a story. All right, let me get back to my story. I just went off course there. Now, I was explaining that. So, this woman told me that they went on their honeymoon after they got married. She's used to being in authority. All right? Being a very spiritual woman. And her husband being in reality, a more spiritual man. He may not look at it. You know what? You know how we judge this spirituality? Once we are praying, the person starts seeing angels. Oh, as we were praying just now, the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and I saw five angels here, and three demons ran away, and the Holy Spirit descended in the midst of his people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, that's how a lot of us judge spirituality. I said this young man is more spiritual than that. He will not do that, but he has enough understanding in his head to walk with God better than anybody seeing visions. So she told me that they were on the... They went for their honeymoon. They went somewhere. I've forgotten where exactly. So she wanted to enter a boat. You know, a canoe. And the man looked at it and he looked too rickety. And he just got married. This is his young, fine wife. So he decided that, well, it's too risky. Lest the boat capsizes and you fall inside. So he said, no, we're not entering. It had not entered her head yet. They just got married like maybe 3 days ago, 1 week ago. So she went ahead, stepped into the boat. And the guy stood, I said, we're not entering that boat. Why not? The guy looked at her coolly and said, because I said so. Now get out of the boat. She told me, this is testimony from her mouth, that for the rest of the day she did not talk. That's cold. You know that you're cold. What brought the cold? It was the finality with which he made the statement. He said, because I said so. If you are used to giving directions, it is hard to not be the one taking. You know, imagine how Tafabalogun felt when they handcuffed him and threw him to the back of a black Maria. You get what I'm going to say? That is the kind of feeling I'm describing right here. Now, if you've been like that, it's hard to take. She told me that she asked herself that, what have I gotten myself into? Suddenly, somebody else is telling you, no, fine. Ah! Now, I use that story to bring up the issue. Is it a man's world? A friend of mine, they had the young woman got a scholarship to go and study abroad for a number of years. And so she told her husband that, I would like to go. The man said, no problem, you can go, but I'm not coming with you. So she thought twice about it and refused to go. So she was there, I was there, my wife was there, so somebody else, a number of us were discussing the matter. So one of the ladies now said that, but if it is the man now, the woman has to go with him. I said, sorry, baby. You're the wife. He's the husband. Uh-huh. It's a man's world. I said, no, it's not a man's world. Listen. We said something at the beginning. It's whose world? God's world. Now, in life, there are structures. Even Jesus Christ, the Bible said he's subject to God the Father, though he's head of all things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Take Joseph as an example. He was the head in Egypt. But with all of that headship, he was subject to Pharaoh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, order, authority in life is God's order. Let me put it like that. Authority is God's order. In that, all of us have gathered here, you know, for example now. Is it Banky's world being here? Not really. We are all serving the purpose of God. It turns out that the thing that God wants you to learn at this time is in my mouth. If you want to hear it, you have to appear at the time that I said. For your information, the time fixed here was never discussed. There was no consensus about it. Is it Vanki's world? No. If you want to hear what he has to say, that's the way it goes. I am not saying what I like to say. I am drawing my knowledge from afar, like Elihu said. I am ascribing righteousness to my maker. That is, I am doing my own function. At this point in time, my function is to instruct people with the word of God. It has nothing to do, it has nothing to say about how superior I am to somebody else. I don't know whether you are following what I'm going to say. It's just the order. So for this scenario, for example, maybe somebody sitting down out here, and there's something, because that's how God does things, there might be one person or two or three people that God wants to turn something around for. 2007. And God said, for that reason, they must close with a kind of word in 2006. Do you follow that point? And I said, that word, I've looked around. The only person who I feel can deliver it the way I want, all right, is Banky. So I will stir up his spirit, because that's how God does things. Because it's not every time he comes whispering, hey, boy, come, look at this burning bush. Look at the burning bush. Go and deliver my people. There are times all he does, like to Nehemiah, was to stir up his spirit. You are getting my point. So God stirs up my spirit and says, now, let us do this. Now, without discussing with you, I give an announcement. If your life is going to turn around like he wants it to turn around in 2007, you have to heed the words I have spoken. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like electricity. For these fans to work, for this equipment here to work, everything here, there are connections you must not misconnect. That is how authority is. If God wants to flow blessing into a home, that is the way it goes. The main connection to God is who? The husband. The wire is not having his way for being the one connected to the generator. The person who's actually enjoying the light is all of us sitting down here. But without the light coming through that wire, we will have a problem. You follow what I'm saying? I'm explaining this. Let us understand it. God's structure in life is for our blessing. It is just that we are used to the satanic world where people have misused their authority. Paul said that, he said, obey those that have rule over you. All right? He said, because they are watching over your souls. Do you get what I'm going to say here? They are watching over your souls. You see, I told them, I'm discussing the question, is it a man's world? In reality, it is not. It is God's world. But God has anointed. Now, let me say that word anointed again. Explain something about that. One of the many discussions I had with my wife shortly before we got married, after we got married, and for years after, even till now, was helping her to understand this principle. I also learned it. I said, you see, in the house, as a husband, women think a lot of times, just like I referred to just now, that it's a man's world. Why do they think so? Because the man's world is final. I said something in that discussion I was having with a few people a few days ago, the one I mentioned to you earlier. I made a statement, and I can say categorically, and I've told my wife that again and again, and she believes it, that it has never happened. I've been married now for 7 years. That it has never happened. Let me say it again. There is not one occurrence in life that it happened that I made a decision in my house for my own good. That is primarily for my own interest. It has never happened. The Bible said clearly that a man must love his wife like his own flesh. That if you hurt your wife, you are hurting yourself. If you love your wife, you are actually loving yourself. One of my residents one day were in my car, you know, and we're driving, and I made a statement. And he said something as a testimony. I'm giving you as a testimony now. He said, "Sir, I think your wife is very lucky." I said, "Why do you say so?" He said, "I notice all the time the way you make statements." Are you getting what I'm saying? That day, actually, what happened was I was driving, we're driving, and I saw a car. And I said, "Oh, this car is so beautiful, so beautiful. Gosh, if I had money now, I would just buy it and give it to my wife to drive." He just said, "I have noticed this thing." He said, "I think your wife is very lucky." Are you getting what I'm going to say? That it just always seem to put, you know, her first in things like this. Now, that's the one that is obvious. Do you get my point? But I said this categorically in that meeting, and I'm saying it again. It has never happened that I put my own interest first. Never. But you get the point that there are things that are my responsibility. Let me give you an example. Primarily, it is my responsibility to handle financial supplies in the house. Primarily. Now, there are modifications. I'll explain by modification in a moment. So let us say that I decide to switch jobs. For example, let's assume I'm not the kind of person I am. I work in places to earn more money. What we decide whether I'm thinking about myself or my whole house is how I spend money normally. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say here. So you may think that I've made a decision for myself, but in reality, I say, look, that money, as soon as I finish earning it, I know who spends. Young Gicho says something that the way their culture is, you know, I said that there are cultures that have some sound things in them. He said, the Korean culture, the woman rules the house. You know what I mean by rules the house? I said on the yesterday that the man is the chairman, but the woman is the what? Chief executive officer. That's how I help. So that every money he gets, he submits to his wife. Everyone. I hope you are following what I'm going to say. So you see that it is not a man's world in that case. I'm explaining that it's just the structure, the authority of God. So I was explaining that, you see, so a man has the authority. Not because he wants to please himself. No. He's not supposed to. Now, please, don't give me examples of drunkards. Because somebody did that to me a few days ago. You know, like, started giving an example of crazy people. I know one man. You see, the man used to pan a bit his wife in the morning, all right? And put potty on her at night. And put some paper the following morning and respray her the third day. You should take him to where he belongs. A deliverance minister or a psychiatrist. Are you getting what I'm going to say? We're not talking about dysfunctional human beings right now. Are you following my point? We are talking about what? God's order for these things. That's what we are discussing. Actually, let me just quickly digress and explain something. The reason why I'm going like this today is this. I said that to you earlier. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 40, there's a principle there. If you want the glory of God to come, he said you prepare for it. That's why, actually, don't let me digress so much. If you want the glory of God to come, you have to prepare for it. You bring down the mountains, elevate the valley, and make a level ground. He said, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. There are people, you see, God is sparing you troubles. He wants to bless you. 2007 is your year of marriage. And I'm telling you. But he said, listen, if I don't help you to understand this, you will keep on having problems because God really doesn't set dates like that. He says what he calls fullness of time. When you are ready, you will get it. And a lot of women are held in this bondage of it's a man's world. Therefore, in your heart, you want to go and give somebody a headache as a husband. And God's in a lie, not here, not while I'm around. My wife was telling me a story the other day about the young woman who had this kind of, no man can do me like that. I will never agree. For where? That should be telling her brother, her sister-in-law, that this somebody married to her brother. You're taking this one from my brother. Me, I cannot take it from anybody. And she was engaged to be married. All right. Then one day she went out somewhere. And did something again that her attitude. And the man, they came together in a car. The man took a bike and left. And sent her a note that actually I wanted to marry a woman. Since we are two men right here, I don't think we are any longer compatible. No, of course, she learned. I think she's a good girl. Actually, at the bottom of her heart, she was just afraid of some things. She learned it properly. I know that kind of thing. The man will not change his mind until he sees the depth of humility. That is, you will say, please. You're not begging for a husband, you are repenting. Do you get my point? It's called repentance in sackcloth and ashes. Actually, you are repenting towards God. Yeah, since he's the God, you can see, you know what I mean? You cannot love God, you cannot see. So if you cannot say sorry to the human being, you can see. You are really not saying sorry to the God that you cannot see. You are following what I'm saying? Certain times people are held up and their salvation is hindered. Let me say this again. Another thing just came to my mind along this line. I think that people have had authority. A problem I've noticed with women who have handled a lot of responsibility, all right? They also have that problem. Let me explain what I'm saying. You're probably a first child in a house. You are used to bossing every human being around you. And you now maybe you accidentally go and marry a man who is the last born. And he's used to people bossing him, but being a man, he hates the idea. If you don't talk to yourself, you are going to have a lot of problems. There's something that happened once. I told my wife, she was a bit surprised. I had an argument somewhere, maybe with a driver or a shop or something, and she was with me. And she was talking and talking and talking, defending me, supporting me, you know what I mean? What is wrong with yourself? Didn't you look? I just kept quiet talking. I said, let's go. And she said, what was that? I said, next time when I'm talking in public, I said, I know you're on my side. I said, but that's not the sign of a good woman. I said, I'm fighting. Allow me to fight for you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I said, if I appear on the scene, if you're arguing before, as soon as I appear, you know what you are doing? You are submitting. I'll explain something. You know, so many things are jamming in my head to say at the same time. So many things. That the truth is that God has blessed you with me. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a blessing. It's not a curse. So if I come into a situation that you're having a problem, you instinctively take a back step. You know, you go behind and let me. It doesn't mean you don't have sense. That's what women think. A lot of ladies think that it's because it's a man's, are you the only ones that have brain? I will tell you the thing we have you don't have. The anointing to lead that relationship. Single men don't have it. So this wisdom is not with single boys. The moment a man gets married, God empowers him to take lead. He might get to his office and he's the gate man. Do you get my point? And his boss is a woman. That is in his office. When he gets home, he has an anointing which has nothing to do with his education level. He has an anointing which has nothing to do with his exposure. This is the mistake people make. I said something earlier that one of the problems that some women have is that you've taken so much authority in life. You have taken care of your younger ones. Maybe you have been into business. You have been paying school fees for like 5 people, 4 of which are men. And then one nigga comes up because he wants to marry you, wants to start telling you what to do. Let me tell you how you will help yourself. You will gladly accept for that fellow to start telling you what to do. You know why? Because there is a degree of grace you have never enjoyed in your life until you met him. And you will never enjoy it until you believe. You know, the Bible says that believe the Lord thy God so you will be established. Believe also his prophets. That way you will prosper. That guy is a prophet. You know the interesting thing about prophets? They don't have to be educated. They are just anointed. The mistake we make, we think that marriage, homes are run with intellectual capacity, ability. Not at all. Ask my wife, there's something that over years, I told her, I said, have you noticed that when we make decisions like this, and maybe we disagree, that over 90% of the times on the surface, I'm right. More than 90% of the times. And that is a conservative estimate. That is, if I say, maybe she wants to do something, I say, I don't think she should do that. And it doesn't happen much anymore. Those earlier days, maybe I now backstep because, okay, you know, like, I don't want quarrel. You know, that kind of, I don't want quarrel. When I do the I don't want quarrel thing and I relax, the thing goes wrong. It always, 95% of the times you go wrong. I must say I've never been wrong. In fact, our first MTN lines, we lost it because my wife said, why don't you watch these people with care? I said, I better relax, well, you are too afraid. I remember that one very well. It's not as if I've never been wrong. I'm just trying to explain something. I took the decision and it was wrong. Do you get my point? If a driver is driving one day and he falls into a ditch, does he make his son, who is 12 years old, a better driver than him now, just because he might enter the ditch once? No, are you getting the logic around this? All right, so, because that's how Satan deceives people. Start telling the woman, you know, you remember last year? That's how he said, you should do this one, and you know everything went wrong. You remember 2 years ago, when he said this, it was wrong. You remember his English self, it's not even as good as your own. He starts telling you stories, trying to undermine the ability of a man to bless you. It's not a man's world. It is just that God sends the electricity through a particular wiring circuit. And he says, this is how it goes. I used to tell my wife, and this is a fact, I said, you are blessed. So what do I mean? I said, if I have to make a decision and I want to know the will of God, I said, you know, it's a bit hard, you know, technically speaking now. I have to pray. You get my point? Sometimes, and that's one of the ways by which God leads, I have to make mistakes. And it's in the stumbling of my ark that I discover that I'm carrying the ark wrongly. It's when my oxen stumbled. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know that story I'm talking about? Like David carried the ark wrongly. A lot of times when things go wrong, I discover that is not the order that God wanted us to use. I said, but do you know you are blessed? I said, for you, all you need to do is think about it, pray about it, and then simply say, my husband, this is the issue. What do you think? And I was okay, let me think about it. And then I just say something. And that thing, as far as you are concerned, is the will of God. And if you listen, I'm explaining these things because if you don't understand this truth, you will frustrate the blessing that God is trying to send to you. You will frustrate it. You won't know. Because you think that we are running, you know, with flesh and blood. We are using, you know, human levels to operate. When in reality, that's not what we are doing. This is God's idea. The Bible said that two are better than one, all right? But it now said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Men who have taught and have listened to along those lines, they said that cord is God, the central cord. Then both the man and the woman are now wound around him. Do you get my point? That is, God is the strength in their marriage. Let me say this one to you quickly. My experience, my little experience in life, has shown that the marriage idea is not workable except God works it. And I can quickly prove that to you. When Jesus talked about divorce, you know, he said to them, he said that a man shouldn't divorce his wife. Do you know the response of the disciples? Do you know what they said? Peter and Co. looked and said, in that case, it is better not to marry. I'm explaining a point there that even the disciples knew. As far as they were concerned then, there had to be a safety valve for a man to escape. So when Jesus collected them, welding machine, and welded the safety valve shut so that the pressure inside will build, people say, let's not just go into the chamber. Once I was watching TV, and a woman who was speaking on marriage, a preacher, and a man who was, whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know, they were talking, it was a secular debate. Then it was the year I got married, my wife and I were watching it. And they're talking about divorce. And the woman said, you see, no room for divorce. Even talk, no, the way God, the man just sat down there. And look at the points. One after the other. explaining why a man should divorce his wife if necessary. And you know the interesting part? Looking on the natural plane, that man made more sense than this woman who was just simply obtuse. You know what we call obtuse? She just refused to change her mind. That is, it got to a point, I was embarrassed. That this man is making sense. You are not making sense. Do you know why? You are arguing on the wrong premise, sense. You are arguing on the wrong level. Because everything the man said was right. This thing does not work if God, that without God, it does not work. You know what God was saying? He said, the two shall become one flesh. It is not possible except God effects it. Do you get what I'm saying? That is why everywhere people have run away from God, the divorce rate always goes up. It is not possible for it not to go up. I don't know whether you are following my point. It is not possible. If you see a place, now this is another issue, where it appears that they are not divorcing themselves and God is not in the relationship, that is when somebody is really in bondage. It's usually the woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes it is the man. That is the problem with the doctrine that people like us preach. Because people who hear it sometimes, they think you are trying to teach them marriage according to the Arabs, in which the woman has no voice. She doesn't talk. She's a slave that bears the man's children, actually. You know, it looks like what you are talking about, but actually it is not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? One day I told my wife something simple, you know, we're discussing. I said, think about it. 9 decisions you make out of 10, I don't give an opinion. There's something we're talking about. I said, 9 times out of 10, I neither tell you what to do, nor do I even offer my opinion. You just get up and do what you want to do. As an example, since this morning, I'm just seeing my wife for the first time as she came for this Bible class. Do you know the way you are here now? She came. Are you getting the point I'm making? How you drive? Where are you going to go? How do you spend the money? I don't ask all those kind of questions. My wife is not my slave. Do you get my point? She's my wife. And I know I married a very intelligent... No, don't put it like that. I married Proverbs chapter 31 embodied in flesh. You are getting what I'm going to say? That is, she's very, very smart. In fact, don't let me even go in there. Don't let me give too much gist. No, my wife is very smart.